What's good, fam? It's your boy Dijon. I'm here representing the Dharma Glow podcast. Good to have you. This movement that we're doing here at Dharma Glow is all about helping you live a liberated and luminous lifestyle. So on this podcast, we're going to be hearing stories of people on their road to purpose, what they discovered along the way, and what the expression of their purpose looks like at this time. We also have live in-person events to create community. So if you want to come through and join us, head on over to dharmaglow.com, and there you'll find other opportunities to tap in. All right. Welcome, Dharma Glow family. We got my good homie Kiyoshi sheltered up in the house. How you doing?
What's up, y'all? Blessings. Yeah, I'm doing well. Glad to be a part of this. Thank you, Dijon, for having me, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. Kiyoshi is an MC, spoken word artist, musician, community builder. Anything else?
That's pretty much sums it up for right now. Sounds good.
I'm in San Diego now. Kiyoshi used to live here, and he made a solid, he made his presence felt with his musical output and his live shows and stuff like that. And I've watched his journey for a long time. And at this point in his journey, he's guiding people how to expand their own expression. So not only has he been a successful artist and is a successful artist with, I don't remember how many million streams. I think I saw your Spotify end of the year list was just like made a lot of impact or something like that. that was cool. But he's having a successful career as a musician, but also reaching his hand back out to other people so they can expand their expression. And I think that's very inspiring. So I just wanted to have you on to take us through your whole process and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. It's been a great journey so far, and I look forward to continuing doing the Lord's work, as Brother Shofar says.
Yeah. Just to start at the beginning so that people that don't know you can know your roots, if you could give your life story up until now in 3 minutes and 33 seconds, starting from like where you were born and then what it was like for you growing up.
Wow, 333. Okay, let's see. All righty, here we go. My name is Kiyoshi Shelton, transformational rap coach, music coach, helping people take their self-expression to the next level. Started out Saginaw, Michigan, 1982. I was born to Marshallese mother, father, African-American descent. He is a music teacher. So a lot of that influence in the music household really took part and into who I am and played a major role in who I am today as a creator and a coach. So I grew up listening to jazz musicians. My father would teach, be the marching band director, and was known in the community in Saginaw, Michigan for having really an esteemed jazz band, the late. And then, yeah, so like hearing that, and then also being part of the church. So having the gospel hymns and the church songs being played in the household as well while listening to jazz. And then my brother, oldest brother, he was a jazz musician at the age of 14. He's a little older. So I would hear him playing music and also playing. We would watch music videos together. Yo, MTV Raps, BT, Underground, just hearing the underground hip hop. So that's how I got my introduction to the hip hop culture. He used to break dance as well. And then fast forward years later, we're gathering cassette tapes of different rappers and sneaking to watch music videos. My mom would be like, oh, that's too bad. Don't watch that negativity. But we would still watch it just because it was dope at the time. So by the time I got in high school, I started writing poetry and rapping. And so that was just, I felt like a calling to do, because I would be in church watching ministers give their sermons. And I would also see people on TV rapping and speaking, and I would get goosebumps in my skin. Like, I knew I could do that. And I knew at that time, like, that was something powerful in me, like more of a deeper calling. So in high school, I started writing during English class and on my own. And I was very much in the church studying the Bible. So what I would do, I would take flip scriptures into poems and rap songs. And I was already, as a kid, I was already like coming up with different jingles and songs. So when I really got into high school, I started and became a more affluent at that. Got into my first poetry slam in 11th grade. I didn't make it to the finals, almost did, but then my 12th grade year, I made the Poetry Slam team, which was really, really pivotal moment in my life, because that from there, I made the Slam Poetry team in Ann Arbor. We traveled to nationals. I started to see other kids from around the nation spitting poetry. That was like blowing my mind. And I was also high at that time in high school. So really spoken word, poetry, rapping were ways for me to really feel more empowered and allow my voice to play from the page to the stage and be received very well by others. And so this really helped me in other areas of my life, from talk to people, to girls, to standing up for myself, to just feeling heard and received and being able to connect with people on a deeper level. And so having that inspirational message of Jesus Christ served me in a really great way. And then as I got into college, I got into a lot of poetry slams, talent shows, and then I was part of a band. And then I won a bunch of talent shows. So I was known as the kid who's winning talent shows and doing stuff around campus. And then I started booking my own shows after college, after already putting out a number of projects. And this is like in the 2000s. I moved to California in 2011 and I got really into the spiritual yoga community. So a lot of my music started to reflect that. And it's been like an up and down journey. I got a communications degree in 2005. Afterwards, I'll work random different jobs, sometimes using my degree and other times not so much. But it was like a struggle up and down, peaks and valleys of figuring out how I can really thrive as an artist, knowing that I had something deeper in me, wanting to make it big, whatever that meant at the time in my 20s. But then finally, just getting to the point where I wanted to teach what I had to offer. And I was in California at the time after already performing a bunch of shows. And so in the past 4 years, I've been coaching people. And that wasn't an easy thing to do because I didn't really feel, oh, what do people really want to rap? How can people, what do I have to give to like really show people how to really be better versions of themselves? And then the more I did it, the more I realized, oh, this is why I do it. It just took a lot of trust, vulnerability, which actually is what I teach people in the area of the voice. So it's actually a very powerful moment in my life when I made that transition 4 years ago into the coaching arena. And ever since then, I just found a lot of more freedom and it feels like I'm living my dharma and my purpose. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And that's what I'm continuing to do. So I'm a creator and a coach. So the more I coach, the more I get better at my craft, the more I get better at my craft, the more I have to offer as a coach. And yeah, it's fun and it's fulfilling.
Dope. Yeah. I feel like the path to mastery in anything is teaching, because you have to know something better to teach it than you do just to do it yourself, to be able to communicate it to other people in the way they can understand and integrate and be valuable for them. So I can definitely see how helping people step into themselves more has expanded your expression.
Absolutely. And
one thing I hear about your story when you tell it is just how long it was from when you had that spark and when you were winning the talent shows to when you came out to San Diego in 2011. And that was 11 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When do you feel like internally you felt, okay, I made it. Like I'm living my dream the way I want to.
So when would that be?
Yeah. When do you like think back and say it was around this year where I was like, okay, I made it, like, you know?
Right. Right. To answer that, it would be different parts of I made it. So it's not, there's always room for growth. I feel like there's different areas or times was like, oh snap, like now I'm fulfilling more of my dream. I moved to California, right? That was one time. It was like I took that step. Now I'm living with my girlfriend at the time and man, I'm living in the land of paradise, the beach and everything. But yet I'm still working in this corporate job. So it was like getting closer to that. And then it was like, a couple years ago when the pandemic hit, I was still in California, but I started making a lot more money with my business, coaching business. I'm getting closer to it, to what I envision. I'm living right by the beach. I got some money in my pocket and hey, let's just travel home and be able to travel a little bit. And then it was like, oops, a little, spend a little bit more money. I need to ground in. And so let's keep doing these things and keep building. So that's where I'm at right now. As far as like, I'm building my business, I'm saving money and I see room for growth. So there's different moments where I feel like I'm living my dream. And then there's also room for growth. I'm still figuring it out. Still figuring out the bigger picture, because I do have bigger goals and dreams. So,
right. Yeah. The journey is never done.
So being grateful for all of it and all that happened in the past and being present and taking care of working towards bigger goals and not settling for anything less than mediocrity. Yeah. That's the bigger picture I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. I hear that. So I feel like a good thing to reflect upon is just that. You're never like there. You can hit milestones and have inflection points, but the journey is never done because you're just be there in the present moment as is. And there's always higher levels and more ways to expand if you're open to doing that and not stagnating. And also just that it takes time. It's easy to get discouraged when things don't happen exactly the way you want to, when you want them to happen. But what I hear about your path is just like the devotion to the path and how long you were on the path, and different flowerings happen along the way, but it's because you stay committed to it, which I think is a very important lesson to reiterate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got it. Like they say, the cliche saying goes, follow your heart, follow your passions. And yeah, stay committed to the path.
Was there ever a point where you felt like you were ready to quit and do something else? Or you just like, this isn't working out for me? Like any ever face something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are times maybe like 2015 where I felt that I got a little down, depressed. Like, how can I? I'm putting all this work in and working me, you know, full time and still doing my music and not seeing enough money coming in, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like that time when we talked in the parking lot, remember that in Torrey Pines? It was a moment around that time that I'm referring to. It was like, what the hell, man? How can I make it? Blah, blah, blah. Then you gave me some encouraging words. And so I had to sit with that, to be real and transparent. Just, fuck. And I wasn't going to give up. It was just like, I was just allowing myself to feel it and how to express it. So just, damn. But yeah, around that time though, I was feeling like, there were those thoughts that would come up. I want to give up, but I wasn't attached to it. I didn't give up. But yeah, there was different times. And I remember 2010, I was like, I don't know about this music path and I love it, but I'm going to have to take a break right now. So it was like times where I would take a little break and then just figure out my life. But ultimately, I never fully gave up. But there were times when I almost did, but I didn't.
And you allowed yourself to have your full human experience when you got to those challenging parts.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. And also took breaks when you needed to.
Sometimes we need that. Help reevaluate the bigger picture, tune into ourselves. But yeah.
Yeah, we're multidimensional beings and we can have things that light us up and that we feel like are our passion and all that. But there are other parts of ourselves to express. And there's also times of rest. Like, it's not perpetual spring and winter, right? There's seasons. Right. Sometimes it's spring, sometimes it's winter, sometimes it's summer. It's like you have to be able to move through the whole spectrum. And that's something I'm personally learning, is that it's okay to rest. I think we're all learning that to some degree because there's so much media and hustle culture. So you feel like you always have to be creating, producing. And that can lead to creative burnout and just like getting tired and letting go of self-care. So I know a foundation of me is just my spiritual practice and making sure that I'm always pouring from a full cup. And when I'm not, I can really tell. Do you have any spiritual practices that keep you centered to refill the well of your creative expression?
Yeah, great question. And I absolutely do. I actually just finished a book this morning, on my last page, The Miracle Morning, if you ever heard of it. It's written by a man by the name of Hal Elrod, very notable keynote speaker, ultra marathon runner, and really successful salesperson. And it is basically what he did right about the morning routine. To answer your question, a morning routine. That's why he labeled it, the title of this book, The Miracle Morning. So it encompasses journaling, writing and saying affirmations, meditation, visualization. And so these are things that I've already done before. And when I was really like rocking it in my businesses and really clear headed, I was already doing these things in the morning. And then so when I was presented to this book by my girlfriend and my friend, you know, Krista Richards, they both told me like around the same time, I was like, okay, I got to check it out. And then I started reading them like, oh, snap, of course, these are things that I've been doing. So this is like a great confirmation to really get more in-depth insight into all these other successful entrepreneurs who have been implementing morning routines, which also helped me get more motivated to do this even more. So I've been doing that. To go back to your question, morning routines really helped me of all that. And then I've also been working out at the gym, getting some of that yang energy, a lot of physical fitness, heavy weights, kettle. I think it's a good balance with the yin mindfulness practices, yoga, breath work. However, I felt like lately I just been needed some just fire. It's cold here in Michigan. And I need to like just hit bags and lift weights and do some of that man stuff.
Yeah.
So balance. So I've been doing a lot of that and it feels good.
Yeah, that's wise, I think. My morning routine is pretty strong and consistent. I would like to exercise more. I do like light exercise, but I think I could get my energy moving more in that direction. And I think that's a great reminder. We all have masculine and feminine energies within us, regardless of our sex. Right. So to cultivate those energies intentionally and just say, I need a little bit more of this right now, so I'm going to do this activity, or I need a little bit more of this, so I'm going to meditate, or whatever it is. And just having that mindfulness about how you're cultivating your own frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Tuning in, seeing what we need, what body part needs attention, however we can, cultivate that energy that every individual is different. So tapping into what we personally need and giving ourselves that love, whether it's rest or a lot of movement or whatever that looks like.
So you were talking about the offerings that you have. Are you offering any programs at this
time? Yes, I have a monthly membership model called Kinetic Collective, where people can come in and out however they like. And so we'll be meeting up a couple times a month on Zoom. I lead one training. So the first week is me leading the training. Second week is I create an exercise for the group. Third week is the group cipher. And the fourth week is people being able to have access to or watch me do a live interview similar to this. So that'll be the monthly membership, and people have access to like their group community to be really connected with a group of conscious souls where people can all stay connected or work on stuff together, interact, support one another. Just a great way for people to keep momentum going. And I have some former students in there who just need a little jumpstart motivation to just keep that flow. So I do that. And then also I have the private one-on-one coaching for people who like to really dive into learning how to craft songs, gain more skills and confidence in terms of public speaking, vocal expression, activating the voice, throat chakra, rapping, creating structure with songs. Yeah, man.
That's what's up.
So the coaching one-on-one, the group coaching, I got ops leading up a physical in-person workshop this week, doing one next week. Send up a tour for that with my girlfriend, Kelsey. And then the retreat, we had to postpone the last one. So that's coming up soon this year.
And when is that?
We haven't figured out a date yet, but I can keep you updated.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
A lot of different options for people. And where can they tap in to find and connect with those options?
Absolutely. KiyoshiMusic.com. That's my website. Also my Instagram page. So KIYOSHI music, my name, the music. Another thing I forgot to mention is I have a course, which Dijon was a part of, called Expand Your Expression. Mm-hmm. And that's an 8-week transformational course, taking people on a journey through songwriting, vocal activation, and live performance techniques in a really fun and safe container. So that the next round is starting April 25th.
Yeah, you did a great job of cultivating the energy in that, and it was fun.
Thanks, bro.
I actually started off this year making songs every day. And
NFTs, right?
NFTs.
That's dope.
I think I did it for the first 12 or 13 days. And then I realized I needed to learn more about the mixing and the mastering and the other part of creating songs. So I was like, I just don't want to have 300 half to three quarter finished songs. I need to finish all of these. Yeah. But it did really spark my creativity. And I learned how to use GarageBand on my iPad and iPhone pretty well, because I wasn't always at home to be able to do it. And I didn't want to have an excuse. I just want to be able to do it where I was. So I created some pretty cool stuff. I'll play you a song after we get off of here.
Cool, man. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, and I connected with one of your buddies, actually two of them, Lauren Turk. I was talking to her online and she was like, oh yeah, I work with Dijon. And then there's a NFT rapper that she connected me with that I saw worked with you. I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to talk to you more about Dylan?
Yeah.
He great. Made a bunch of money through NFT. So yeah, I want to get more into that space. So I'll be picking your brain at some point, bro, to really tap into that and learn. Sounds like a really cool space to explore. And
yeah, for sure. It's a direction I want to go in more. And I think NFTs are the future. So for anyone listening, there's a podcast and a platform called NFTs for Musicians that I'm building out to dive deeper into that and help people understand how to do it more, and we can learn together. So real quick, just to explain what Dill experienced, he made a song, Jordan Belfort, which was this really popular college song, did 200 million streams. He went on tour across the college circuit like 10 years ago or whatever. he released the first crypto rap album called Crypto Rich, and I think either 2020 or 2019, and it did about 2 or 2.5 million streams. And off of that, he only made $6,000 from Spotify, which is not a lot of money for that many people listening to your music. So last year, he turned to NFTs and started going hard with that. And I think he's made well over 100K in the last year doing that. So it's definitely a more lucrative path with more sovereignty and freedom available if you know how to do it. And he does know how to do it. So that's part of the reason I connected with him, was to learn.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a great resource. So I have a podcast coming out with him on NFTs for musicians. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can just explore more, Kiyoshi.
Yeah, man. That's dope. Yeah. I'm excited to hear more about what you're doing and your journey with the NFTs. So yeah, congrats on everything, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming on to share your medicine and to share with people how they can connect and expand their expression with you. I'm sure some people will tap in. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. Many blessings.
All right. Peace, family.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us, fam. I hope you got inspired and got value like I did. If you want to tap in with us more, connect with us on social media at Dharma Glow. Head on over to dharmaglow.com and see what opportunities there are for a deeper connection. And if you're feeling it, share it with a friend. Take a screenshot, post it on your IG stories, or just share this podcast and let them know you were feeling it. Appreciate your energy. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you real soon. Peace.